Good morning.
Good morning. Look, it sounds like a fascinating book. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, it is. It's a really fascinating story. I think most people remember the story. It's in the headlines 2 or 3 years ago now when it actually happened. Obviously, it was so far away, so far removed from our daily life that it sort of lasted a few weeks in our media. But that were enough to catch my attention because I'd got a connection to Brazilian football from spending quite a bit of time there and having some friends out there. So it really resonated with me a little bit more. So I just sort of continued and did some quite a lot of research. And yeah, the more I found out about the story, the individual stories, the sporting story of the team, and the mitigating circumstances, shall we say, that surrounded the crash itself, I just sort of realised what a truly amazing story it was. And by that time, it had kind of disappeared from our social life. You know, obviously we'd moved on from it over here. But I just got more and more sort of obsessed with the story until I felt I were in a position to write a book about it.
Yeah, so in terms of how you've written it then, have you touched on a few of the individuals, their individual stories within the book? How exactly is it structured?
Yeah, well, that was the most captivating thing in doing the research. Well, when you found out about the individual players, most of who died, unfortunately, they were poverty-stricken, almost non-league footballers when Chapecoense signed them, when they were down struggling at the bottom of the Brazilian pyramid. But they all managed to sort of galvanise themselves together around a particular style of play, which I trace back to being inspired from the 1994 Brazilian World Cup winners. If you remember, they played a really pragmatic style and they sort of modelled themselves around that. And just managed to really rise themselves up through the leagues, managed to get into the top division of the Brazilian pyramid, and were on the way to what would have been the biggest match of their lives and the biggest match in the club's history when tragedy struck.
Well, look, absolutely. And I think as well, we've just done a section there on the fact that the FA's technical director has called the England under 21 stars arrogant, and that we've always struggled in this country as well to maybe get the best out of our international stars. Just think about that golden generation. But here with this particular Brazilian team, they obviously managed to do all that, didn't they? They managed to be able to kind of drain every little drop of talent out of that side, who you rightly said were a lot of kind of poverty-stricken amateurs, essentially, when they first signed for this club. How did they manage to do that? I know you mentioned the style of play, but there's got to be more to it than that. There's got to be something that maybe, frankly, England's under-21s could learn from them.
Yeah, it actually started with a player. The player that signed called Cadu Gaucho, he got a terrible injury, but he was so well respected in Brazil that he managed to turn himself into a scout. He found all the best talent that we'd played against and just managed to forge him into a team, players that we knew could play at a slightly higher level. And every time they met that higher level, he'd sign more players from that level that we knew could play at a slightly higher level again. That made them retain the hunger to move up, rather than this feeling, as you say, a bit of privilege that our players have now, where they've already made it, they've already got nice cars, big houses, and I do think that reflects in the story as opposed to what we see on our screens now in our football.
Yeah, how have Chapecoense, have they recovered from this tragic incident?
They've actually done quite well. The media storm around it sort of helped get them some attention and some funding from that, and the teams in Brazil helped them loan them players, and they've managed to retain their status in the top flight.
Good stuff. And on the, obviously, we're talking a lot here on Michael Owen's book. Obviously, for the likes of myself, and I'm sure a lot of other listeners, the story like this will be a lot more attractive to them than Michael Owen. So give us the pitch. Why should we buy this book and not Michael Owen's?
Huh. Well, I'll concentrate on this book rather than Michael Owen. What I tried to do was go back to the bit that got me so passionate about football. I was 9 years old when that Brazil versus Italy match took place in the USA. I then have continued the Brazilian national team story on as a parallel running through, so you can see just the gulf in difference between the top and the bottom of Brazilian football. And slowly, as the Brazilian national team started to suffer from one reason or another, Brazil domestic football started to suffer, the Chapecoense were on the rise, and eventually them two sort of things met in the middle, and these players were playing at a level they never thought they'd play when tragedy struck. I've also, because of my 6 week I spent there in Brazil, there's a couple of chapters that are just solely how I became so connected to the story. Some very funny anecdotes from my time in Brazil with my pals during the World Cup in 2014. And yeah, I think it's a brilliant true life story, brilliant sporting story, some funny anecdotes in there as well. I'm sure it'll make you laugh and cry.
Great. Fantastic stuff. Stephen, really appreciate you coming on.